Ashwapati is in the presence of a being which he cannot describe or define, a being with which he feels close at times and at times very far, and he experiences that when this deity comes close, his heart is full. Everything has a meaning. But when it withdraws, the greatest actions seem dull. Now to continue, the order of the immemorial planes, the order of the planes, to show that this is an organization. The planes are there in a set order to serve a purpose. The godlike fullness of the instruments, mark that the instruments are godlike, and they have been developed to their fullness. Even these, the planes, the instruments, were turned to props for an impermanent scene. They look as if they were only props to keep going a scene that turns out to be impermanent. But who that mightiness was, he knew not yet. As we observed, Ashwapati does not yet know what's that mightiness. Impalpable, yet feeling all that is. It cannot be seized by his senses, yet it pervades everything. It made and blotted out a million worlds, and took and lost a thousand shapes and names. This mightiness, this deity, appears as if it has created and wiped out innumerable worlds, takes and loses a thousand shapes and names. You'll remember here what we once observed about forms and names, that intrinsically forms and names have a significance of their own. It wore the guise of an indiscernible vast, or was a subtle kernel in the soul. He feels it as something vast which he cannot discern into its contents. But at the same time, he also feels it as the core, the subtle core of his soul. A distant greatness left it huge and dim. When it is felt to be distant, he experiences it as something huge, but at the same time dim, vague, not clear. A mystic closeness shut it sweetly in. And when he feels it within himself, he has a feeling of sweetness and a closeness which can only be described as something mystic. It seemed sometimes a figment or a robe, and seemed sometimes his own colossal shade. A giant doubt overshadowed his advance, in the midst of all these apparent contradictions, there is a huge doubt looming over his advance across a neutral, all-supporting void whose blankness nursed his lone immortal spirit, allured towards some recondite supreme, aided, coerced by enigmatic powers, aspiring and half-sinking and upborne, invincibly he ascended without poise. The main sentence is that he ascended without poise. And his ascent takes place across an all-supporting and at the same time a neutral, an impersonal void whose blankness nurses, as it were, his lone immortal spirit. Because by this time he has shaken himself free from all involvements, all attachments. And his spirit is allured, tempted, attracted towards some profound supreme, aided, it is helped, coerced by enigmatic powers, it is under compulsion of certain powers that cannot be clearly defined, doubtful of the, as far as their character is concerned, aspiring, half-sinking. He ascends in his aspiration, but now and then he appears to sink somewhat, and still he is borne upwards, and invincibly, irresistibly, he ascends without pause, always a signless, vague immensity brooded, without approach, beyond response. As he ascends, he aspires, this featureless, indeterminate immensity, which is brooding, silently dwelling upon itself, without approach, without a route to reach it, beyond response. It is beyond the line that could permit communication, condemning finite things to nothingness. By its very immensity, it condemns all limited things to nothingness, fronting him with the incommensurable, with the infinite, unmeasurable. Then to the ascent there came a mighty turn. His ascent comes to a stop, but it is a very mighty stop. A height was reached where nothing made could live. Nothing created can live at that height, a line where every hope and search must cease, neared some intolerant, bare reality. His journey reaches some nude reality which is intolerant of everything and anything else. A zero form pregnant with boundless change. It is a zero, not an empty zero, mind you, but something potent, pregnant with limitless change. On a dizzy verge where all disguises fail and human mind must abdicate in light, the mind, its role being over, it has to yield place to something else. Either it must abdicate in light or die like a moth in the naked blaze of truth. You know those fireflies, insects, which rush wherever there is a flame, and they fall into it and die. That's the option open to him. His human mind, it must either abdicate and yield place to light, or end itself like a moth in the bare blaze of the flame of truth. He stood compelled to a tremendous choice. What's that choice? All he had been and all towards which he grew must now be left behind. All that he has grown into, all that he has cherished, all that must be dropped. Or the second choice, or else transform into a self of that which has no name. Or all of himself has to be transformed into the self of that reality which is nameless, alone and fronting an intangible force, a force that cannot be seized, that cannot be sensed, which offered nothing to the grasp of thought. Thought cannot hold it. That force. His spirit faced the adventure of the inane. Ashwapati's spirit faces this adventure of the vague, indeterminate vast. Abandoned by the worlds of form, he strove. The worlds of form have been left behind, and he strives. A fruitful worldwide ignorance foundered there. All the worldwide ignorance, the ignorance of the world, which is all pervading, and it is fruitful because it keeps things going. It creates things. It's a creative ignorance. Such an ignorance founded there. It fell, broke into pieces. Thought's long, far circling journey touched its close. Thought, the journey of thought is always far circling, it circles and circles in long rounds. Now that too touched its frontier, and ineffective paused the actor will. Mark the word actor will. We think our will is our own, but actually our will is only playing out something which has been determined for it by someone else. And that will, he stands here ineffective. The symbol modes of being help no more. The usual ways of existence, symbolic of some realities, are no more helpful. The structures nations builds collapsing failed, and even the spirit that holds the universe fainted in luminous insufficiency. The spirit that pervades and sustains the universe faints here with a luminous, meaningful inadequacy. In an abysmal lapse of all things built, all built things have lapsed into a bottomless pit, transcending every perishable support. All support which has proved to be perishable has been now transcended, and joining at last its mighty origin, This separate self must melt or be reborn. This is again the tremendous choice. The separate, the divided self must either melt or be reborn into a truth beyond the mind's appeal. That truth is beyond the reach of the mind. All glory of outline, sweetness of harmony, rejected like a grace of trivial notes. It has its own beauty, it has its own grace. But from here, they look like trivial, very insignificant notes. They are rejected, expunged from being, silence, nude, austere, died into a fine and blissful nothingness. And this nothingness is not something bare and austere, but something fine, something blissful. The demiurges lost their names and forms. A demiurge is a secondary creator. Say, God is the creator, then he has many secondary assistants who are the various gods. They are called the demiurges. Now the demiurges lost their names and forms. They have no more function here. The great schemed worlds that they had planned and wrought, all the worlds that these demiurges had built after planning, they all passed, taken and abolished one by one. The universe removed its colored veil. The universe is always seen and experienced by us from behind a colored veil. The veil is a very deceptive veil, and at the unimaginable end of the huge riddle of created things, why were all these things created? That itself is a riddle. And at the end of this huge riddle appeared the far-seen Godhead of the whole. He has been sensing this Godhead, glimpsing this Godhead, and now this Godhead appears, his feet firm based on life's stupendous wings. Life is compared to a huge bird with spread out wings, and these wings are stupendous, strong enough to bear the feet of the giant Godhead, omnipotent, a lonely seer of time, inward, inscrutable, with diamond gaze. His gaze is diamond, pure and boring, but inscrutable, unanalyzable, inward, not outward. Attracted by the unfathomable regard of this Godhead, which cannot be fathomed, the unsolved slow cycles to their fount returned, the cycles of creation, turning slowly, those which have not yet solved, which have not yet fulfilled their mission, they return to their fount, to rise again from that invisible sea. Here is a hint of the process of creation, absorption and recreation. Those worlds which have not completed their mission have got to come again, rise again from this invisible sea. All from his puissance born was now undone. I think we can do it next time. I can catch you.
You have 7 minutes more. 7 minutes more. It's very good.